Hi everyone, my name is Linda and I want to welcome you to our career article on 5 ways to stay fit at work. But before we do that, let's take a review of yesterday's lesson. Yesterday we were talking about escape the meeting cycle. And to review with me, I have 2 guests in our studio today.
Hi, this is Pauline.
And Simon.
Well, Simon, what is one thing that stood out to you about our yesterday's topic?
Well, of course, yesterday we had 5 different suggestions that came from a person named Dick Axelrod, who's an author and also sort of a partner in this company. And I think the thing that stood out most is kind of this theme that not everyone needs to be at the meeting, sort of an idea that if you are going to a meeting, it should be very clear why you are going to the meeting and what you are supposed to be contributing or what your role is at the meeting.
Okay, and what about you, Pauline?
Well, I really appreciated the call that this was to the leaders of meetings to put a lot more intentionality and thought into exactly what they want to get out of the meeting and what the process should look like to get there, while also encouraging those of us who maybe don't have a say over the exact meeting and having to go to at least think about what's important to me that I need to get out of this meeting and how can I help focus it a little bit if I can.
Okay, and I think one of the things that stood out to me was taking responsibility for success. We need to remember that we're part of a team and that it's not all on the leader. So just for a meeting, if you see that something is departing from the agenda or stalling, what can we do to, like, you know, get it moving forward so that we can have some productivity? And I think for this word stall, it just means to stop where it is. And if you have a hard time understanding this particular word, you can think of your car. If your car stalls, it means it won't go. So what can we do to get it moving forward?
I think we fire people. It's
of
good
course
for them in the
do.
End anyway, because then they'll have time to get fit. And that's important for life.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So
firing people?
No.
Getting fit. Having time to get fit.
Yeah, Simon.
Yeah.
Well, Simon, this is a topic dear to his heart, and it is about staying fit and how to get fit or stay fit at work. And, you know, this, even though this article is written for America, I think that this is true worldwide. You know, we are finding ourselves sitting at desks more and more, and we're not getting up and getting the exercise we need that we've had in the past. And they do say, some of the other studies I've read, that even if you go home and exercise at night, it doesn't make up for the effect that sitting has on your body all day. And in fact, Studio Classroom last year or the year before read an article that said sitting is the new smoking.
Interesting.
And how detrimental it is to our health. So this is a very interesting article we have today about staying fit at work. And if you have your magazine, please open it to page 15, and we're going to read the first section to the end of the left-hand column.
Five ways to stay fit at work. As America battles the health hazards of sitting too much, physical activity during the workday has never been more important. But in office cultures where even taking a full lunch can be difficult, finding time for a workout can be even tougher. Charles Hillman, a professor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, notes that 2 different studies of adults have indicated that just a 20-minute bout of moderate intensity aerobic exercise relates to better short-term cognitive performance on certain tasks. Workers who don't have the time or facility access to pull off this kind of workout and look presentable afterward shouldn't fret. Lunch hour workouts should be a combination of stress reliever and circulation improver, says Mary Ellen Rose, chief science officer for the Institute for Healthy Destinations and a worksite health promotion consultant. Here are several tips Rose offers for getting more activity throughout the day.
So once again, The first sentence says, as America battles the health hazards, I would like to suggest that this is everywhere. This is Asia, this is Europe, where we find ourselves sitting in offices. And as they're battling the health hazards of sitting too much, and once again, I want to say that, you know, there are articles out there that say that sitting is as detrimental or as bad for your health as smoking is when you sit all day. So we need to do this during the workday. Okay. Simon, what do you think about this?
I think let's all do some exercise during the workday.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, offices are in a lot of ways basically killing people in Western culture.
I think
it's
that's
pretty
true
much
in
as
every
simple
culture.
As that. Yeah.
Because we're not an agrarian society anymore. You know, we've moved to the cities and everybody wants an office job. And so we're sitting, sitting, sitting.
And we're also busier. I think there's just so much pulls on our time that even finding time to do exercise after work, I know I rarely do it. So I really like this article because it helps me to think about how I can incorporate exercise into the daily life structure that I already have instead of having to carve out some big chunk of time extra into all my very little free time that
right.
I have.
Oh, I was just going to say, here in Taipei anyway, it seems much less common for people to switch back and forth between blue-collar work and white-collar work during their careers. And I remember when I did my first office job, sort of feeling guilty at the end of the day for not feeling like physically exhausted. So sort of before, when I'd done manual work jobs, you're always actually really tired by the end of the day. And if you're in an office job, you can sort of be mentally tired, but you haven't actually really moved around too much during the day, right? And so it's a very different kind of thing to adjust to, very different idea.
Well, let's see what Charles Hillman has to say. This is a professor at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and he says that two different studies, this is of adults now, show that a 20-minute bout, and a bout just means a short period of time, okay? So a 20-minute period of time of moderate intensity aerobic exercise relates to better short-term cognitive performance on certain tasks. Okay, that was a rather long sentence.
But really interesting. They're not just saying if you do this, it will have, you'll be skinnier or you'll start to feel more energized or you'll have these, you know, physical body benefits that you kind of anticipate having with exercise. Instead, he goes to your brain function and says that pretty immediately, it seems like your brain, on a short-term level anyways, is going to perform better on some tasks, which it doesn't really go in to tell us which tasks, but it's still pretty interesting that your brain has such a strong response.
Well, I think we know that there have been studies done by psycholinguists that have shown that even for students, and I've shared this with teachers when I've done workshops, that students even the most efficient way that they learn are the way that they learn most is by, it says role play, which to me means our acting, and it means getting up and moving. Because, you know, you can't put on a play or have a show every day in class, but just the movement, getting up and walking across the room, you know, triggers those, whatever you need in your brain, you know, for more cognitive, a better cognitive performance. So we see that it doesn't take a lot here. I mean, a 20-minute walk at lunch can help you for after you eat a bunch of carbs. No, after you eat lunch, okay? And then if you don't have the time or facility access, so if you don't have like a treadmill or a gym at your office, to pull off this kind. Okay, what does it mean when you say to pull off this kind of workout, Simon?
It just means your office doesn't let you do this. Like there's nowhere to work out, or you maybe don't work in the sort of office where people get up and walk around, or, you know, it could be any kind of thing. The point being, some offices, you know, like Google comes to mind or whatever, let you kind of go to the gym for 20 minutes whenever. Other offices don't. So if you're in one of those offices where you're not allowed to do this, or if you do it, you become all sweaty and messed up, and then you know, you can't really go back to work. Don't worry. That's what they're saying. Don't worry.
Yeah, the fret part is don't worry. I also wanted to point out to pull off something just means to manage something, mm-hmm. to succeed at something when it was slightly difficult, right? So they're saying it might seem difficult to be able to get this workout in if you're not at Google, if you're at an office, like Simon was saying, that's not as readily obvious a place to do workouts, but you can pull it off. You can manage to do it.
Right. And I think the next sentence here is quite interesting. It says that lunch hour workout should be a combination of stress reliever and circulation improver. And, you know, when I think of, I think when a lot of us think of lunch, we think, oh, great, I'm going to have lunch and take a nap. But this seems to suggest, does that come to your mind?
I mean,
when we think about relaxing, we think about, oh, nap time after I eat. But actually, this is suggesting the exact opposite.
Well, if you're wearing office attire, the first thing that comes to mind when you think lunch isn't like run for 30 minutes, right?
Well, they're not saying running necessarily. They're just saying what does say moderate intensity aerobic exercise, which does suggest that you need to move, maybe walk quickly.
But I do appreciate that it says moderate because, again, I'm not a big exercise fanatic. I don't go to the gym even after work in workout clothes. So the idea of doing a real heavy workout anywhere in my workday just seems unattainable. But when they start to put these other words in, they're moderate, 20 minutes, and then they say stress relieving, circulation improver, then I get the sense like, oh, this is doable. You know, it's something that you could incorporate in a way that wouldn't be overly stressful or put me in a place where you're so out of breath or feeling so tired afterwards that you couldn't go back to work.
I just think that it's interesting that we're looking at a nap versus exercise and mm-hmm. what is going to help us in our work in the afternoon, what's going to make us stay more focused, more awake, and the nap seems to be losing here, I hate to tell you. And this actually is a study coming from the chief science officer for the Institute for Healthy Destinations, and she's a health promotion consultant. So we also know that by being healthier, we're more effective. Okay, she also gives us, I think it's 5 points, different things. You know, in this climate, it's pretty hard to go out in the summertime in particular. It's May here, and already it's starting to heat up, and you don't want to come back to the office with feeling limp, so to speak, and having limp clothing. So let's see what we can do, like, within the office itself and throughout the day.
Stand up while making phone calls. Try doing exercises like calf raises, side bends, seat squats, desk push-ups, and tricep dips that get your blood circulating. Build exercise breaks into your workday. Set your phone alarm to go off every 2 or 3 hours as a reminder to get up and do some light resistance exercise or stretching. Go walking. Change into walking shoes, grab a coworker, and head outside for a walk at lunch. Set your phone alarm for 15 or 30 minutes and get as far as you can. Turn back when the alarm sounds. Go for a brief stair workout in your building. If that's too intense, step up onto a 10-inch or 12-inch platform and back down. Lead 25 times with the left foot and 25 times with the right. Walk from the parking lot. If you drive to work, park at the far end of the lot to get more steps in. If you take public transportation, get off a stop early and walk the rest of the way. Exercise is more fun when it's a shared experience, so invite your coworkers to participate whenever possible.
So the first tip that she gives is stand up while making phone calls. Do either one of you do that?
You know, actually, Simon was asking me who makes phone calls anymore, and then I realized that my brother works at a job where he does a lot of phone calls. He works at an office and does support for various places. And so he spends a lot of his time on the phone and then also on the computer looking things up to help people who are currently experiencing problems that he's helping. But what he had the option at his work, and if you have this option, you might want to consider it, to ask for a standing desk. So he actually stands that entire time and then just occasionally sits down. So if you have that option, that's great. Otherwise, just remembering that, of course, nobody's preventing you from standing up while you make a phone call, and just remembering to do that. It's such a small thing, but it really can make a difference.
Simon, I know that you are a big proponent of standing desks.
I love standing desks. It's true. Yeah. I mean, there's just the office environment, in the modern office environment, is just a very sort of unnatural way for people to spend their time, I think. And that has effects on people's lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have all these, sometimes we call them like rich world diseases, right?
Right.
Because they're diseases that people get when they live in sort of developed countries. And they come from the lifestyle that's sort of tied to the designed environment we spend our time in.
So let's take a look. Besides just standing up, she's suggesting that we actually do exercises. So let's take a look at a few of them so we can maybe help people understand what they actually mean. So calf raises.
Well, your calf is your muscle on the back of your lower leg. And so a calf raise basically just means you're standing up on your toes, your tiptoes.
Right.
And then going back down.
And then going back down and go back up again. Right.
That one seems pretty doable to me. Again, it's not anything grueling. You're not going to work up a sweat. I've done it before. You do feel a little bit of a soreness or as you're doing it, which is kind of nice because you know you're doing something, right? It's actually having some effect. But it's also not really huge movement. So if you're a little timid or embarrassed about exercising at work, this one's pretty subtle.
Right. And then side bends?
You're just bending to the side to stretch out your sides, right?
And it doesn't seem like very much, does it? But actually it is. Any time that you can stretch your muscles is very helpful.
I think that's actually sort of the catch. You were asking why I was silently laughing earlier, and I think the reason I was basically silently laughing is that these tips are giving you ways to increase your exercise a little bit, sort of get a little more movement into the day. But I think the thing is that this is not enough to make you healthy.
Like right.
You can be doing calf raises like all day long and you're not going to lose weight, right? Or you're not going to whatever. And so really it's about kind of getting into the habit of being healthier, making healthier choices all the time.
And I think it's also showing you how you can, because some people might have the desire to, but they don't really know how to even go about it. And these are just small little things that, you know, feed into that. It's just part of your regime, I guess you could say.
Right. It's a piece of the whole, right?
Right.
We're not talking about your eating habits here or smoking or drinking or other, you know, harmful or positive habits you could be incorporating into your life that are going to affect your body. But it's one piece, and I do like that it feels like a nice small entry step, right? For those of us who haven't completely given ourselves over to the idea of being fully on the exercise wagon, I think it's for us, you know, who are somewhat interested but not really ready to make maybe the full plunge. This is kind of an entry level, some of those smaller things you can do. But even for those who do exercise, actually, who maybe aren't thinking about it during their work time, this is a way that they can add one more level to the already really healthy habits they have. Either way, I think there's some nice manageable tips.
Right. And remember, this is at work, so it's just trying to help your body not feel so dead, you know, or so tired all the time.
Anybody know what a seat squat is? I've been wondering here.
And I've been trying to imagine desk push-ups.
Desk push-ups, I think, are just basically you don't do a push-up on the ground. You just put your hands on your desk and lean over.
Mm-hmm. And then push yourself up.
And the tricep dips are easy, too. That's the back of your arm. So you kind of put your arms behind you and lower yourself down and push yourself back up. But the seat squat, I'm not sure. When we squat down, we basically bend our knees and lower our bodies.
Well, I think in Asia, you know, when I think of in Asia, that's how a lot of people sit and chat. on the street or in a market. You know, you see, especially kids. I can't actually do this. My kids are really good at it. But, you know, where you squat down and chit-chat, you know, it used to be very common, especially in the farming communities here. So I think it's just the squats, just squatting down and then standing back up again. If you have bad knees, don't try it. And then build exercise breaks into your work day. So you can set your phone alarm to go off every 2 or 3 hours so it reminds you to get up and do some light resistance exercise or stretching. Yeah. I actually get up. I mean, I make myself get up every hour or so and walk around a little bit. So anything that we can do. I think the stretching is good here and the resistance exercise. What does it mean by that? Light resistance exercise.
It just means you have something kind of pushing back against you. So you're not just moving your arm by itself. You're like pushing against something or
so like the push-up at your desk push-up or something like that. Right. Okay, and then go walking. Now, this is what you were saying. We just don't, Simon was saying that we don't really have the time to do this.
Well, I guess the thing is it's pretty easy to do some of these little things without everybody kind of noticing you and thinking you're the lazy person. But it's much harder to get up out of an office and go for a half-hour walk.
They are suggesting this happen at lunch.
Yeah, that's true. But even that is hard to manage because, you know, in a lot of offices, for example, people use their lunchtime to sort of run errands, right? Like if you have to go to the bank or you have to go to the post office, you have that sort of lunchtime to do it. I guess you could walk to the post office.
I was going to say, maybe it's just choosing to walk.
Yeah.
I think that's what's nice. I mean, in our office, that's what's nice is that everything is accessible here by walking. So
nearby,
it might take you 10 or 15 minutes to get there, but you can still do it. And now I know everybody's like, what about eating? So, you know, you don't need an hour to eat. So just if you leave yourself some time, you can actually work this into your schedule. I thought this was kind of interesting to set your phone alarm for 15 or 20 minutes and then walk as far as you can. And then when the alarm goes off, you know it's time to turn around and go back. So you don't lose your job, basically, by walking.
You're more tired on the way back, though, so you're slower.
That's true. So
you'll end up late.
If you only have a half an hour, you should probably put the alarm on for 10 minutes and then plan 20 minutes back or something along those lines.
And also, this next one is pretty interesting. Go for a brief stair workout in your building. Okay? So actually, this is a very, very good form of exercise. Those of you who take the Mass Rapid Transit System, you know, I always walk up those escalator stairs with the escalator. Mm-hmm. And it says here that if you can't do a stair workout, then step up onto a 10 or 12-inch platform and back down again. 25 times with the left foot and 25 times with the right. And I was like, where are you going to find a 10 to 12-inch platform to do this with at your office? So I would just take the stairs.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, stair workout, you can kind of interpret that as you like, right? If you're a little bit less on the extreme exercise side, you just start with maybe when you have your 2-hour alarm go off, you walk down the stairs and get your water from the water cooler downstairs and then walk all the way back up and you've just done one set of stairs. Or depending on how many stairs down that is, you do half of them and then you get on the elevator. Whatever it is, I think it is a nice reminder that stairs are just a constant opportunity to take a little bout of exercise, whether that's on your way to the office or, like you said, on the MRT. There's lots of chances for that. Going to my apartment, if I decide on my way out or on my way in to take the stairs instead of the elevator.
I think we're in a sad place as a society when we consider walking upstairs a workout.
Well, I know you don't have an elevator in your building, Simon, and you live on the 5th floor.
So many stairs.
And I don't either, and I live on the 3rd floor. And every floor I'm like, maybe we should move.
You can call it a workout, but other people just call it going home.
Well, actually, some people, there have been studies, actually, I do want to say this, there have been studies on stair walking, and they're showing that if you do stair walking for 10 minutes every day, that it is a legitimate workout. Okay, I just want to put a plug in for that.
There
okay, and we don't have this so much, but walk from the parking lot. This is very, very American, where there are large parking lots. Mm-hmm. They say this all the time, park at the far end, not next to the building, and then walk. Or if you take public transportation, get off a stop early and walk the rest of the way. That's pretty plausible.
I like that idea, and especially for me because I'm still new to Taipei. Especially when we first got here, we used to try and do that just so we could explore more of the area, and it was a... And we got double for our money, I guess. We got a little exercise in, and we got to explore the area a little bit more.
What about you, Simon? Well, you ride a scooter.
That's true. I think the thing to keep in mind is that it's very easy if you work in an office to be sort of slowly pulled into a life where you are doing nothing at
mm-hmm.
all for your health.
That word is called sedentary,
yeah.
which means you don't move.
And so these are all good tips for getting you moving a little bit, but I think it's also important to remember that, like, to be healthy, really, you have to do a lot more than just these things. So a start,
definitely.
But not a healthy lifestyle.
I do like at the end here it says, exercise is more fun when it's a shared experience, to invite your coworkers to participate whenever possible. And that made me think about maybe the next step. Like Simon was saying, these are just small steps to go, to invite everybody to go on a hike or to go, for me, I love to go dancing. So there are other activities that can be fun activities that are also pushing that exercise further.
Right. So just remember that these are small things you can do at work, especially if you start feeling tired during the day. You know, it's a good, like, pick-me-up, so to speak. Well, we hope that you will join us tomorrow again for our third day of our career articles. We're going to be talking about a new way to look for a job, and we hope that you will go out and get some exercise. So we need to say bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.